Just a quick note to let everybody know that there will not be a part of Blackest Omen this episode of Talking with Mar. Mar's a little bit down on the weather and she didn't want to record it all sniffly and stuff. So it will be continued the series on with the next one. So I'm sorry for that. She's sorry for that, but can't do anything, get sick. Both of us work around kids and, you know, little bacteria creatures that they are. So sorry about it again. Hope you enjoyed this episode though.
Look away, look away, look away, look away. The show will wreck your evening, your whole life, and your day. Every single episode is nothing but dismay, so look away, look away, look away. That's all I know.
That's all you know so far.
Actually, the song changes.
Every episode. Every really. Episode. Yeah, it describes every episode or episode before. So in this episode of Talking with Mara, I guess we're going to talk about a series of unfortunate events, Netflix series.
It's so terrible. You should not watch it.
Yeah, we almost watched the whole thing in one night.
No, I love Lemony Snicket. It's just like, it's so dark. And there were people complaining about like, oh, it's like reveling in its own quirkiness. And I'm like, yes, that's the point.
Yeah, like a happy little emo child.
It's just like, it's delightful because it's like, it's so melodramatic and over the top. Because the Baudelaire orphans, their parents die in a fire and they become orphans. And nobody refers to them as children, they refer to them as orphans all the time.
Orphans?
Orphans. And then they're left to live with a series of guardians, starting with Count Olaf, who is evil and just after their fortune.
Yeah, you might want to start by explaining where it came from, the books and stuff.
They are based on a series of children's books.
What, are they middle grade books, actually?
Yeah, like, I would say, like, 6th grade. Yeah, I mean, the thing with them, I know a lot of people freak out about them being children's books, but it's like, there is always, like, some sort of a reprieve. And part of that comes from the fact that, like, you have this fourth wall stuff with Lemony Snicket, who's, like, the investigator of the Baudelaire case, but also the narrator of the stories. And Lemony Snicket kind of breaks in to, you know, explain what's going on. And there's always, like, some sort of, like, weird levity to it. So it's not, like, just straight-up child abuse.
The books are, like, an absurdist look. At
them, yeah, they're just, like, horrifically absurd. Otherwise, it would, like, it would be, you know, it's the same thing with, like, Harry living under the stairs. Where it's like, clearly that's just child abuse.
It works better as these in like Harry Potter than like the Boxcar Children, which is a very old series. The problem I always had with them is they were played straight, but the reality of the situation, you can't really play it straight without exploring it.
Yeah, they were just randomly children living.
Where stuff like when you play that within a fantasy realm or a surreal realm or a satirical realm or whatever, it works because you're not constantly saying, like, where's the parents, where's guardians, where's the reality? Because it's not a reality-based situation, really.
Like, sure, we'll leave you to your closest geographical relative rather than, you know, like, the closest family member. Yeah, just, like, weird stuff like that. And the fact that, like, the children always see that it's Count Olaf plotting and scheming and none of the adults do it. It's like, it is a very actually like real thing, is that like a lot of times kids aren't listened to by adults, and they even say it outright in the show. It's like, I am the adult and I'm telling you what's happening and stuff, you know. And like, I mean, that's actually pretty real.
Yeah, I think it's a really good series. I think they did a good job of adapting the first, what, 4 books?
Yeah, it the Netflix series is 8 episodes long, and it is the first 4 books. So it's The Bad Beginning, The Reptile Room, The Wide Window, and The Miserable Mill. And each one is 2 episodes. So it's kind of like they actually made like a movie out of each book. And there were parts that were like verbatim from the book. It was really close. A couple of things was that they made Lemony Snicket a little bit more of the story. Like, he doesn't actually interact with anybody, but he actually is shown physically in, like, the scenes with the Baudelaires, but he doesn't interact with them or anything. And that's slightly different, but, you know, it still had that really good fourth wall quality. And I think you add in a little bit more of him because, like, clearly he's on the run from people in the books, too, and also in the other Lemony Snicket series, the All the Wrong Questions.
The prequel series.
Yeah. Like, he's a mysterious figure and stuff, too. And I remember when the books were, like, still coming out, it was always, like, they did the photographs, and it actually is Daniel Handler, the author of the books, in the photographs, but, like, you never see his face or anything. It's, like, like, a dossier kind
of
thing.
And they did a lot of viral marketing with doing, like...
Who is Lemony Snicket?
Yeah, who is Lemony Snicket, photos of Lemony Snicket, like, sightings of him. They did a lot of that when those books
My favorite one is the fact that there's a book, and it's the unauthorized autobiography of Lemony Snicket.
Yeah, I like it.
Like, I love that one. But yeah, he's very much a part of the show, and it's just amazing because they have, what is his name, Patrick
Warburton? I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah, and like he's...
From the first Tick series, and oh my God. Really famous for being on Seinfeld as
I
the
love
Christian
him.
Boyfriend, which he did really good on
I love him so much. He's Kronk from that movie you hate. Emperor's New Groove.
What movie I hate?
Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, yeah, I hate fucking him.
He's
Kronk. Sorry, it's awful.
No, I just love that guy. I love his voice. Like, he's, know, he's and really he's just voice. Perfect to play Lemony Snicket because he's deadpan. And the kids, like, they got really good kids in there. And even, like, the girl that plays Violet in the Netflix show actually looks a lot like the girl that played Violet in the movie.
I said that when I first seen it. I was
she
like,
looks a lot like her.
I was like, they had to have done it on purpose. She does look like a lot like
yeah,
her.
Yeah, and all the, like, the kids were really good. And aside, the baby is CG, like, almost, like, and like the entire face, like, almost the entire time. It's...
I don't think the entire time, I just
a
think
lot of
so
the
often
time.
They would do it.
A lot of the time.
Well, what they do to get cues from babies a lot of time is they'll just sit and shoot tons of footage on a baby, and then they'll just pick out
it
what
was
they want.
Excuse me. It was just,
and they decide
it was just
not to have the baby talk.
Was the thing.
They decide not to have the baby talk. They do subtitles for the baby, which I think.
Yeah,
works.
I'm trying to remember in the book. I think like she says gibberish words, and like they can kind of understand her, but like Lemony Snicket does interject saying like this is what she actually meant. But like the kids in the show can actually understand everything, and she just makes noises. She doesn't really make like words.
And some people can
understand. Some people can understand her. Like, one of the henchmen can understand her.
Yeah.
And then I think Uncle Monty can understand her.
I can't remember.
Or not. But, like, they had a lot of really good people. And Neil Patrick Harris is Count Olaf. And he's just, like, delightfully sinister and campy at the same time.
Yeah. And he looks just like Count Olaf.
And he did. He really did. It was just such a vast improvement over Jim Carrey in that terrible movie. And, I liked the visuals on the show better, too, than the movie. Like, oddly, the movie was weird that, like, they were all dressed, like, very gothic-y.
Yeah.
It was like a wannabe Tim Burton kind of thing or something. It was weird. But in this one, it's, like, hyper-stylized. Like, the colors are super bright in a lot of stuff and then super dark in other stuff. Just, like, it was really, really... It looks a lot like, actually, in Edward Scissorhands when they take him home with them to, like, their really bright house in Florida.
I was thinking, you know, I was thinking totally different show, but the first couple of seasons of Ugly Betty, they did the backgrounds. The backgrounds are all CG, or inserted backgrounds. They ain't CG, they're inserted backgrounds, so it gives it a very soap opera feel to it.
Yeah.
And I thought when they distance it from that soap opera feels when that show started going down.
I think, like, visuals really help a lot. Yeah. And that was, it was just, like, the thing with the movie was it was, like, I really feel like they were, like, let's be Tim Burton. And then they were just, like, they ended up making stuff look goth and it looked stupid. This one, actually, the show looked a lot more like something that would really be Tim Burton's work.
Yeah, I thought it was really, I think they did a good job overall and everything else. We've actually met Daniel Handler. We met him
I loved him.
Was it New Orleans where we met
him? We did. We met him at Alien New Orleans, and he was adorable. And I had him sign a book to my sister and call her a cake sniffer, and he's like, what did she do to you?
Which is a line from one of the books.
Yeah, there's a storyline, it will pick up in the next season of the show with the Quagmire triplets. And they end up at the Austere Academy, and they end up in the orphan shack because they're cake-sniffing orphans.
Cake-sniffing orphans
in the orphan shack.
But yeah, he was really nice, and like I got him to sign a book also, and I was going to get him the sign because he was stamping.
Yeah, Lemony he has Snicket. A notary stamp so that you know that it's in fact Lemony Snicket.
So he was stamping all the books, and then you could have one book signed, also another extra book. So I was going to have him sign my
your autograph book.
And normally your second book just gets a signature, and he was like, I ain't gonna just sign it. He's like, nobody remembers who signs these things anyway, so he stamped my signature book too, which was
He was delightful. Like, he legitimately has a notary stamp that says, like, from Lemony Snicket on it, and he fucking notarizes the book. Like, it was just so delightful.
And I got to go to a talk. He was having a, what would you say, a speaking engagement in another part of the ALA convention. And I got to go see that also and hear him talk and stuff, which was pretty cool. Yeah, so we enjoyed that a lot.
We really plowed through it
like in 2 days, basically.
And it was almost like super verbatim, a lot of the stuff was. There is a running additional storyline in the TV show of mother and father, and they're like spies and they've been kidnapped and
well, they're
trying to make their way home to the children, and it's Will Arnett and Kobe Smulders. How do you say
Smulders.
Her name? No, there's a D in it.
I thought it was Smulders with the D silent. I don't know.
But it's got her in it, and like they're just like, I liked them a
Robin
lot.
It was Robin Sparkles.
Yeah. Let's go to the mall.
But no, they added little things of the mysterious organization, which you don't get
the
to
VFD.
In the later books of the series, but they go into kind of big time in the prequel series. I think they're sprinkling a little bit of that in.
Yeah, like, the kids don't really know that their parents were part of a secret organization until, like, really late in the series, because there's 13 books in the series. But in the show, like, they pretty much find out their parents have a mysterious, like, backstory immediately. And then there's this, like, running side story of mother and father trying to get home to the kids. And that was, like, interesting. I don't know if I want to say it on here, because that's kind of, like, a big...
You can say spoilers. I'm going to put that
you're going to put spoilers.
Yeah.
Like, that was a big fucking twist that it's not their mother and father. It was
the Quagmire triplets' mother and father. I thought they changed it, and either they were going to have their parents survive, or they were going to have it that the parents never see them over the whole, you know, series as it goes on and keeps missing them. So at the end, when it finally they went through the door, I was like, okay. I was like, that's a good twist for somebody that hasn't. And even for people who had read it, which I've read the book, like, so I thought it was a good twist too.
Yeah, like I was wondering if they were going to, because I had seen pictures of the Quagmire triplets in the promo stuff, and I was like, well, they're going to have to meet them, like, by the end of the last episode, because it'll pick up in the Austere Academy, which, like, they kind of, like, did do that. But there's a scene where they show, like, they're like, oh, you could be a child that wakes up in a nice house to a butler bringing you blueberry pancakes, but that is not the Baudelaire or, you know, like, and it shows, like, three children in the same room, like, and they're all the same age, and I'm like, wait, are those the Quagmire triplets?
And I didn't even know if that was going to be them, or it was just random, you know, nobody's that they were showing for an example.
It was the Quagmires.
But I was expecting that to end up being, like, their family that ends up being Kobe's mother.
I can't remember from the books if the Quagmire triplets' parents were in the VFD or not. Because, like, you really don't meet them at all until the Austere Academy.
We need to get the audios and listen to those again.
Which, if you've never listened to the audiobooks, they're narrated by Tim Curry. And they're smashing.
Well, he doesn't do all of them, doesn't he?
There's, like,
the first
two
one
that Daniel Handler does.
And then Tim Curry takes over and does a really great job.
Yeah, like, he did, like, a bunch of the first ones, and then Daniel Handler did a couple, and then Tim Curry does the rest of them. Yeah. He's really, really good. They're just, like, really great audiobooks.
So you would give this show a really good rating.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally going to get it on DVD for the library when it comes out on DVD. I don't tend to buy a lot of TV shows because, like, we don't have space or money, so it's like I focus on feature films, but well, I'll probably get this on DVD.
You'll probably get this for yourself on DVD, too.
I might. I don't tend to buy a lot of DVDs for myself.
Yeah, but you'll watch this over and over again.
I don't know.
Then again, Netflix, it takes them, like, years before they release. They just released Daredevil Season 1.
I don't foresee them taking this off of Netflix, though, because it's their own show.
They don't take anything off, but I think they make a mistake by waiting so long to release stuff on DVD.
I don't know, Orange is the New Black comes out pretty quickly.
Daredevil didn't. It took them forever to release that on DVD. But, okay, we both loved it, and that's really good.
I would really, really recommend all of A Series of Unfortunate Events except the unfortunate movie. And I loved that the show took a lot of digs at the movie.
And I actually, here's the thing. I think that that movie would have been, the casting was really good. And I think even Jim Carrey could have worked as
I hated him.
I think he could have worked if the script would have been better and if they not focused on him so much. They made it about him.
They made it
about
Count Olaf more than the kids. And like Neil Patrick Harris was just delightful. Like he.
Okay, moving on to
way better.
What was the last book you read?
Shit, what was the last book I read? Shit, I can't. I've been making stuff lately.
I didn't let Mar prep for this. So.
No, actually, like I really haven't been reading anything in the last week or so.
What have you been making?
I just finished making a pussy hat. Yay. It's for...
What else did you make? You made some cosplay suits this weekend. What did you make?
Yeah, but I'm really delighting in my pussy hat, which is to protest the Trump inauguration next weekend. So.
It is cool.
Fuck Trump. But, yeah, I also made Disney ears for cosplay. Which, like, if you go to Disney, you can buy hats that have, like, Mickey ears. And they have tons of them with different, like... Disney characters, so I made my own here because they cost like legit $30.
You made one for you that had
mine had Lilo and Stitch, of course,
and mine had Robin Hood stuff on it.
Yeah,
and Queen had
Marie from the Aristocats, and I'm working on I have stuff to make a Belle and a Gaston now.
Yeah, for another friend of ours.
Oh, and I'm making a Monsters Inc. one.
Yeah, that's for our friend Stephanie. Shout out to Stephanie, you're listening. What's your last program you did at the library? Do you remember?
Well, we already talked about. Did we talk about the escape room?
Yeah, what's your next program then?
Yeah, well, we just did that escape room, and that went pretty well, even though the kids were, like, they actually did not, like, I made it a Sherlock-themed one, and then the kids that like Sherlock didn't come. So the kids that came didn't really give a shit about the story of, like, you have to find Watson. But then I was like, you know, I made it all serious. I was like, a man's life is on the line. And they're like, okay, okay. And then, once they started doing it, they got super into it. So that was fun. But I've discovered that they are obsessed with Hamilton right now. So I got to do a Hamilton program. I got to figure that out. Which I hadn't listened to the cast recording before. I gotten it from the library when I saw that they were starting to express interest in it. And I started listening to it the other day, and it's fantastic. It's really, really good. And I did a book display about Hamilton, and they actually were excited, and they checked out biographies of all things. Biographies. and then, I don't know. Oh, I had Lego Club this week, and I have this little boy who, I guess he's reading, like, these abridged DK classics. And he was reading 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and he's, like, obsessed with it. And during Lego Club, he made himself a Nautilus.
Cool.
Yeah, he was super excited to show
Has
it
to
me.
Has he seen the Disney movie?
We put it on hold for him, so he's going to watch it.
It's good. I think it is really good.
He was pretty excited about that. But, yeah, he made a Nautilus, and I was like, wow, kid, you're, like, 7. You're smarter than me. Yay.
Are we going at... And just, or do you have a current reading, since you can't remember your last read?
Honestly, like, I have a stack of things to read, and I haven't read anything, because I've just been making shit, and listening to Disney soundtracks, like, all week. I just, like, constantly, I was like, I'm just gonna listen to Disney.
You won't end with more of the song?
I don't know the rest of it. Thanks for putting me on the spot. No, like, if you go to watch the Netflix show, it's really cool. They have an intro to the song. They have an intro to the show, and for each of the episodes, they change it. So, like, it's different for The Bad Beginning and The Reptile Room. And Neil Patrick Harris, of course, sings it, and it's really good. And it is keeping in tone with the whole Lemony Snicket thing about, like, do not watch this. It is unfortunate.
Say Lemony Snicket 300 times fast.
Snicket.
Snicket. Stick it.
But, yeah, everything about it was just delightful.
Yep, I agree.
It's just delightful. In a really unfortunate way.
Say goodbye, Mar.
No, I don't want to.
Are you David Tennant in Doctor Who? Thank you.